When I was like in the 11th grade, I used to go to church with my parents. Like up until the pandemic, I was still going to church with my parents. But yeah, in the 11th grade, in the 11th grade, there was that year there was this guy who started going to the church. I'm gonna call him Tommy because I don't know the legalities of me talking about this. It's probably I think it's a pretty innocuous story, but we'll call him Tommy just to keep things nice. But he had he was about 60 something, mid-60s, I think, and he had Down syndrome. And he started going to the church. Yeah, the association that like worked with him would take him to church. And I remember our church, I'm like a Protestant sort of thing. So we don't do like the peace be with you sort of thing. We do the we just greet one another. That's what the pastor will always say. He'll say, "You just turn to your turn around and greet one another," kind of thing. You just say hi, how you doing? You kind of a nice little thing. But the s in essence, it's the same as like the peace be with you thing. Just kind of saying hi, well wishing, a brief little chat. But I remember he would always come over and he would shake my hand. And I don't know what it was, but I think he, I don't think he would, I think what was happening was he wasn't trimming his nails, or at least he wouldn't trim his pinky nail. And every time he would shake my hand, his pinky nail would dig into my but I was always happy to see him. Always happy to see him. He was always happy to see me. I remember there was a time where we were having a potluck. And it was me and my mom and my dad. And we were at a table. And he came and sat with us, and it was just sort of the four of us at this table, and we kind of sat. And it was really pleasant, and I knew him for probably, I don't know, I would guess probably 3, 4, 5 months, maybe half a year, somewhere in there. But I remember one morning waking up to my dad going, "Oh my God." My dad goes, "Oh my God." And I'm laying in bed and I'm like, "What could have happened?" But I just kind of go back to sleep, and I don't know. I don't know what I thought it was at the time. But yeah, I go back to sleep. I think it was a Saturday or something. But I get up after a while. And my parents are kind of just sitting in the living room. And they're like, "Did you hear what happened?" And I'm like, no, I don't think so. What happened?" They were like, you know Tommy from church?" "Yeah, I know Tommy. Yeah, great guy, fun guy." They said, "Last night he was out walking. And he was crossing the street downtown and he got hit by a van and it killed him. And I think about that now and again. I'm always as a writer, I'm always sort of wondering slash I'm always interested in the next tragedy of my life and kind of not praying, not hoping necessarily, but I guess hoping's probably the best word for it. I'm always kind of eager to see what the next tragedy is. And I'm always like blown away when it's not something pleasant to hear. Because as a writer, I'm always interested in my own plot thickening, the plot of my own life thickening. And then it's always something really, like not pleasant. I think I need to stop. I need to stop, wishing for those things to happen. Because I think in the world of an artist, I'm not even necessarily sure if the wishing does anything, but it's always much sadder than I expect. And I think to be an artist, you don't need to. If you're interested in something, if you're interested in tragedy, you can go read about tragedy. You don't need to wait for the horrors because they're inevitable, but also they're well documented everywhere else. I'm writing a romance book right now, and I was thinking about like I gotta go get laid and stuff like that. Like, man, oh man, I gotta go get laid so that I can go so that I can write about this stuff. But I don't think that would help, like, at all. You know, romance as a genre exists already. And porn exists already. So I think the only possible contribution to that getting laid might have as potentially as really only like am I could I do it hypothetically, could I pleasure a woman? But I think those, even those angles are already there. Because there's tutorials on the internet and there's all sorts of stuff, you know. There's all sorts of resources and not even like the fake, you know, fake like step family porn, but there's actual resources to find out how to make a like a woman come. And so even then the contributions of that like trying to write a romance, I don't need to go experience loveless sex, I think is what I'm trying to. Tell my brain because I think I know that that's the truth. Do you remember in gym class when you were have you ever had like a male gym teacher? Do you ever like play dodgeball? And just whip a fucking the ball right at the teacher's cock and balls and just totally sack him. That was always like an immensely funny thing. Anytime that happened, I was laughing. I remember when I was a kid, I'd always like get really amped because I've had a pregnancy fetish ever since I was like a like ever since I can remember, essentially. So I remember it was really awesome when the girls would put like a ball under their shirt and be like, "Ah, I'm pregnant." But then I remember also like having to like shame the boys. Like the boys would do it too. I was like, "What are you doing? What are you doing, you fucking nasty freak? You wish you were pregnant like a guy. You wish you were M-preg right now. You wish you were the guy, the pregnant guy from iCarly right now. Get the fuck out of here, dumbass. You dumbass gay guy." Even in the second grade, I was homophobic. I didn't even know what it was. Get the fuck out of here, boy. I'll beat your ass. I'm just joking. I'm not homophobic. But if, when I was a kid, if a boy put a dodgeball under their shirt and said, "Look, I'm pregnant," I would whoop their monkey ass. Gonna have a big red butt like a baboon when I'm done with you, bitch. And not from gay plowing like you wish, you gay guy. But I would put a ball under my shirt and go, "I'm a big fat guy," and then they would go, "No, you're pregnant, ha ha ha," and I go, "You're a nasty fucking freak. You're a nasty freak. I'm gonna beat the fuck out of you, little bitch. Little candy ass bitch." Gonna take you to the fucking cleaners, bitch. Saying I'm pregnant. I'm clearly fat. Guys don't get pregnant, you dumbass. Turn you into fucking gore. On my dead dog, I will. On my dead dog, I'll turn you to gore. I remember, I think every guy has like a thing where they have like a solid era in their life where they should be grown. Maybe I'm just describing puberty. I think that's what I'm just, I think I'm just describing straight up puberty, where you are a man, but you also think you're Spider-Man. Like, you should be grown, but you also think you're Spider-Man kind of a little bit, or you're about to become Spider-Man. I remember being in PE, and the teacher, we were getting ready to play basketball, and the teacher threw a ball at one of the girls to like catch, but she wasn't looking, and I happened to be looking. And right before it hit her face, I remember just going, boom, and just knocking it the fuck out. And I was sort of her hero for the next, like, week. It was beautiful. Beautiful. You know. That was a good feeling. And I thought I was Spider-Man for the next week. All it takes is one of those moments to, like, one moment of, like, really great reflexes to, like, get autism for essentially, like, a week. It just takes one quick, oh, cool, like, I caught the thing or whatever. I caught the thing I shouldn't technically maybe have been able to catch. So now I think I'm Spider-Man. Now I think I'm Captain America. You're 8th grade, you're getting a little stronger. The testosterone's starting to, pump through you. You start getting those little veins in your arms. You start walking around thinking you're Andrew Garfield. It's like, no, you just have, you just have veins in your arms, and now you can come in your boxer briefs. That's the only difference. You didn't transform overnight into some sort of like sexy god. You're just like a little bitch. You're still the little bitch you were before it happened. You're just a little bit different. You're just a little bit different. But I've always had little autistic quirks, so I don't think it's that crazy that I thought I was Spider-Man for a week. I think it actually lasted a lot longer than a week. I think it was a solid, I think it was like a solid, like, 6 months that I thought I was Spider-Man. And then slowly I realized, oh, my reflexes are actually pretty dog shit. On the reg. And, like, I do not have the makings of, like, an athlete. Maybe if I worked at it, but I'm not going to work at it. I think one of the funniest things that I witnessed as a kid going to school, probably was whenever another kid would take a shit in the urinal. That was always like an event. That's like I don't know, man. That's like the bathroom. That's the bathroom equivalent of going to the IMAX theater the next city over. You've got a magic lantern at your in your town, but it's always nice to go see how good it can really get. You see a turd in the urinal, that's actually, in my mind, I know this isn't shared by everyone, this sentiment isn't shared by everyone, but in my mind, if I go to the bathroom and I see a turd in the urinal, that might be the best bathroom experience I can have. And it's not even really related to my ability to do my functions. Even if somehow the turd in the urinal was completely ruining my experience or my ability to like release my functions, it would still be a great experience. You know what I mean? Like if there was only one urinal in the bathroom, it's clogged with shit, and somehow the toilet was out of order, and I saw this, and then I had realized, oh, I gotta go to a different bathroom, another store over or something like that. Even if that was the case, that's still a great bathroom experience. Turd in the urinal, easily one of the best bathroom experiences a man can have. I don't know what the female equivalent of that is. I'm not sure. I remember in elementary school, there was one time, I think it was like seventh grade maybe, the girls reported back and said, somebody's dropped a python in the toilet and it won't flush. It's the same width as the log is the same width as the hole in the toilet. So that was big news when I was a kid. I remember hearing that news. That was big news. Because all my, childhood, I'd been flanked with this idea that girls don't poop or fart. Or at least, I'd heard girls fart before, but I'd never, because I don't be, you don't be seeing log every day, You don't really be seeing, you just see sort of guy log because you're in the bathroom all the time, although in the guy's bathroom. So you really only know for certain that guys do log. You know that you're not the only guy that does log, and that guys in general do log. But when you're in class and you find out any one of these sweet honey mamas could have clogged the toilet, there's a beauty to that. You get to thinking, I like the lack of perfection. I like the idea of a woman who can drop a deuce. I don't want some sort of, perfect woman who doesn't shit. I want somebody who's an even match. That's my thinking. What else? When you were a kid, I think it's safe to say there was no better day than movie day. That shit ruled. I don't know why, but I had the same teacher for first, second, third grade. My school, you would stay in the same classroom with the same teacher for all the subjects for 3 years. Like it was three grade groupings, all the subjects. But my teacher for first, second, third grade, 1 year she showed us Fly Away Home. And that movie made me laugh my fucking ass off. It was me and this other kid. We would laugh our fucking asses off to that intro scene. Because if you've never seen the movie, yeah, it's just a dr- like the beginning is just a POV from the driver's seat. It's this mom and her daughter. It's the daughter is Rogue from X-Men, that actress. But it's just a POV from a driver's seat, driving at night, and I think it's raining. And they drive for a while. You see them drive for like 2, 3 minutes, and then they get T-boned by a semi, and the car flips over. And I remember me and this other kid just laughing our fucking asses off that the windshield wipers were still going. That was the funniest thing ever to me as a kid. That was this car does like 500 fucking rolls, and then by the end of it, the windshield wipers are still going, and we were slapping our knees, and our teacher was telling us to stop laughing. This is not funny. Which is also very funny because I remember in high school, when we were doing driver's ed, we had to do driver's ed, and then we had to do a 1 day driving safety course, which was basically about seat belts, fatal accidents, drinking and driving, drugs and driving, all that sort of thing. But I remember they showed us a PSA. Actually, they definitely showed us a couple PSAs. And one of them was it was just a compilation of people getting into like horrific car accidents. All like fake, by the way. Like they were like it was acting, you know. They were skits. It was a PSA. It wasn't real live leak footage. It was just like a PSA. But yeah, it was just this series of fake accidents to the song Everybody Hurts by REM. That was one of the PSAs that they made us watch. And I was laughing my fucking ass off the whole time. And the teacher got mad at me. He's like, "Are you fucking kidding me? You're gonna show me car accidents?" The only thing that makes a car accident upsetting is it being real. There are no stakes here. Of course I'm gonna laugh my fucking ass off at a guy getting fake launched through a wind. You launch a dummy through a windshield? I'm gonna laugh, okay? You show a car with a dummy in the driver's seat crashing into the back corner of a semi? And I'm laughing my ass off, and you're going, "Hey, don't laugh." Are you fucking bananas? Are you like actually fucked in the head? What are you talking about? Of course I'm gonna laugh my ass off. Fucking stupid, dude. And she was like, I was giggling up a storm, and she was like, Aaron, stop. I'm actually. She was like, threatening me with like detention. And I was like, I was trying to stifle my laughter, but it was too funny. It was me and Ethan Nolan, who I've had on the podcast, laughing up a fucking storm. It was the funniest shit ever. It was glorious. And then they made us drive around in like, they had like golf carts, but then they were, I don't know if this is gonna make sense, but they were golf carts to simulate drunk driving. But then the golf carts just didn't work. Like it wasn't like delayed reactions or whatever. They were just like actual pieces of shit that didn't work. Like they kept powering down, and it was like, this is not what drunk driving is. Drunk driving, you get behind the wheel and, you know, you're kind of veering around a little bit, and, you know, you back over a homeless guy's head. Like, this is, you don't drive for 5 seconds and then the vehicle automatically powers down. I don't know, what's a futuristic movie? This isn't some futuristic, you know, dystopian future where if you get behind the wheel drunk, the car powers down. You're trying to simulate drunk driving. Give me the drunk driving experience. And then I remember they also showed us, this was real, they showed us a woman's head that had been, crushed. I think her head had gotten driven over. And maybe they showed it to us because I was laughing. So they're like, here's the real deal. To like actually scare us. But I don't know. I don't think it was because of me. I think they were going to show that anyway. But I remember there was this police officer, and he's just going through his files on his laptop. He's like, let me find this. He's, you know, murder cases and all that, you know. And then he pulls up, yeah, this woman's head. Just like got driven over because she didn't wear a seatbelt, and you could see her brains like coming out the top of her head. He's like, "Yeah, I went home from work that day with no, I went home from work that day with brains on my shoes." He said, "Like this feels like a little much, Officer Dan." Was retarded. Retarded policeman. He is a cop and he's learning impaired. He's the retarded policeman. Dude, that show, I think they took it off of YouTube. I think there's a couple re-uploads, but I think they took that show off of YouTube. What a tragedy, dude. That show was amazing. That show was amazing. If you can find Retarded Policeman on YouTube, go watch it. It is funny. Part of that, like, golden decade of YouTube. Damn.